And be seated. And would you open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 15. I'm on a series called Divine Healing. Today is part 5, and I'm going to continue. And what I'm going to talk to you today about is the word, the blood, and the name. And then when we're done with the message, we're going to invite people who would like to be prayed for their healing to come stand up here, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to see God touch your life and bring healing and power and strength to your life. So just for you to know, I want to begin with this thought process when I talk to you about the word, the blood, and the name, and how they relate to your healing. And I hope that what I share with you today will open your mind to the spirit world. It will open your mind to the things of God, and you will see things a little bit different in how God works and how powerful he works. But in your opinion, okay, this is your opinion. In your opinion, what is the most powerful force or energy that you can think of? What is the absolute most powerful force or energy that you can think of? Could be water. Water is very powerful. God flooded the entire world with water. We've seen floods. We've seen floods in different parts of our country, different parts of the world. Wind is very, very powerful. It's extremely powerful. It can knock buildings down. It can, a hurricane can do a lot of stuff. Tornado can do a lot of damage. Fire, we've seen it here in Los Angeles, in California. We're used to fires, thanks to some people who don't take care of the forest. But these are all powers. How about electricity? Electricity is extremely powerful. With electricity, I have an electric car. My car drives by itself, and it's all electric, and it's super cool, super fast, too. What about nuclear power or the atomic bomb, which are very similar? Nuclear power is controlled power to help power cities and things. And the atomic bomb is destructive power. Would you call these things powerful? Yes. Yeah, they are extremely powerful. Can you think of anything more powerful? I want to share with you the three most powerful energy sources in all creation. And what I want to talk about, energy. I want to talk about actual force, something that actually moves something that changes something because it's more powerful than what it touches. Fire is more powerful than a lot of things, and a force is subject to fire. The things that I had up here that I showed you, water, wind, fire, electricity, the atomic bomb, there are things that will yield and absolutely fall apart because these are more powerful. So when I talk about power, and I'm talking about the three most powerful energy sources, the things that actually produce an energy, that actually something happens because of it, the three are the Word of God, the blood of Jesus, and the name of Jesus. These three are the most powerful source that there is. There is nothing more powerful, nothing has more energy. And I'm going to show you in a few minutes how these work together. Here's what I'd like you to conclude with, and I'll tell you my end result right here at the beginning. The Word of God empowers the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus empowers the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus isn't powerful just because it's magic. Doesn't really matter if you say Jesus or Jesus or Yahshua or Joshua. It doesn't matter which name that you use from which language. It really doesn't matter. Where did it get its power? And you got to back up and find out from Scripture where the power comes from. And what is the most, absolutely the most powerful thing that has ever happened? And I'm going to share that with you in just a few moments. So let's talk about the Word, first of all. The Word. How is it so powerful? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Did you know that in the Bible there are two beginnings? One is in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning. One is in John chapter 1, in the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, it's the reformation of the creation of earth after it was frozen. It's not the true beginning. In the beginning, in John chapter 1, is the absolute beginning of all things. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this tells us that the Word of God, it cannot be separated from God himself. God and his Word are one. His word and him are one, are the same. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So really the most powerful force that there is whatever God says. If God says it, it's going to happen. If God declares it, it is so. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke. It's by his word. There's actual energy behind the word of God, actual changing energy, an energy like fire or wind or water that will force over something and become more powerful than it. And then it says, he, referring to the word, he was in the beginning with God. And the he we know is Jesus. And then he says in verse 3, all things were made through him, and the him is Jesus, and without him, without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. So this is declaring that the word and God the Father are one, and he declares that the word has a personality or a person, and the person is the Son of God. And in the person of the Son of God, in the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and we have the Son of God, he says that everything that was made by Jesus. Everything was made by him and through him. In other words, it came through him. The power, the energy that actually went. If you could think about something that was really powerful, this generation should have no problem. You've seen Marvel movies. Imagine Star Wars, and that's an old one. They have better ones now. But the Death Star machine that came and shot energy into a whole planet, and the entire planet was completely blown up. What level of energy is needed to blow up a whole planet? What level of energy is needed to create a planet? A lot of times we don't even look at it this way. We just look at it as mystical or magical, or, you know, we think of it's kind of like just saying a statement over something, but there's actual power, energy, an actual substance is inside Jesus himself, and when he says it, it happens. If he created all the planets, everything that was made by the word, which means he spoke it. So how powerful is the word? Then we have in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And I want you to understand this particular word. In him was life. It is the Greek word Zoe. And the word Zoe, when you do a deep search in the word Zoe, you find out it actually means the life of God. The actual life of God. The very substance of God. The very thing that makes him God. It is Zoe, and it says that in him was Zoe, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, which means it gives us the direction that we are supposed to go, that we follow God himself, and it's from Jesus. If we truly go after the life of God, we have to go after Jesus, because inside him is the Zoe. Inside him is the life of God. Inside him is all that God has for us. So we find out that the word of God is so powerful, so magnificent, it's hard to get words to describe the level of energy that comes from the word of God. God's word could say cat, and there's a cat. God created water. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that God, in the palm of his hand, put a drop of water. It calculated all of the oceans, lakes, water, streams, rivers for planet Earth by just weighing an ounce, just weighing a drop of water. Calculated, created it, said it, made it. Created the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, created the different seas that are on our planet. But that's just our planet. His word is so powerful, it created the universes. Colossians chapter 1, let's jump to the New Testament and see what it says about the very same thing. For by him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Jesus Christ is the creator of all things, which means he's the creator of angels. He's the creator of thrones, dominions. He's the creator of rules and governing bodies. He's the creator of the military angels, of the civilian angels. He's the creator of everything that you can see and everything you cannot see. We are talking about the creator himself, and he said it was created for him. You were created for him. And in his creation, when he created Adam and Eve, when he created man, he saw into the future every single person who would ever be born in planet Earth. And you were created for him. And it was his will that everyone live and everyone be saved. Now, let's talk about the blood. I want to talk to you about the blood. Talk to you about the name. I ask you to open to Genesis chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 5 through 18. And let me give you a little tiny background. This is Abram, before he is Abraham. And God is promising him a whole generation. He is promising him a bunch of kids. And he doesn't have any kids. He is promising him a land. He is promising him all kinds of stuff. And then God gets in an agreement with him. And here's what happens. We're in the middle of this. And God, brought him, Abram, outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Now, if you are born in the city, if you're born in Southern California, if you're born in our communities and you've never been out of the communities, our twin daughters, Stephanie and Elizabeth, were actually born in the city of Yorba Linda. It used to have a hospital at Prospect and Bassancherry. It was a hospital, and they were born in that hospital. And Elizabeth lives in Yorba Linda right now. She lived outside of Yorba Linda for a few years. Her sister lives in Yorba Linda. They've never seen anything but Yorba Linda, except when we took them on trips. But if you have never been out where there is no ambient lights, if you've never been to a place where it's just pure darkness, you know, it's even if you go out to Joshua Tree and get in the middle of it, it's still not the same as something even further away from city lights. And you look up on a clear night and you are blanketed with stars. It's incredible. We don't get to see that in our community because we have so much light that's happening, ambient light, so much artificial light that gets in the way, but it's like pretty amazing. So there's no such thing as LED lights. There's no cell phone. There's no tablet. And God says to Abram, look up. And it's at night. He looks up and he says, count the stars. It's impossible. He goes, that's how many kids you're going to have. And this is what he's saying. Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. It's kind of funny because he said, count the stars and see if you are able to number them. Because God said, I can. I can tell you exactly how many there are. And then verse 6, and then he believed in the Lord. Look at Abram believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Did you know that Abraham was saved? He accepted salvation. He accepted the way of the Lord. It's a little different than when we talk about getting saved, accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord. But there was salvation before the law, and that was for him to accept what God has said. There was salvation during the law, and that was the once a year, the Day of Atonement, where they would be cleansed for another year. There is salvation after the law. And after the law is Jesus Christ, his resurrection, and we call on the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. But every generation, every time period had a salvation from God, and it all was based off of faith, believing what God said. So we have salvation before the law, during the law, after the law. We have prayer before the law, during the law, after the law. We have worship before the law, during the law, after the law. We have tithing before the law, during the law, and after the law. But for some reason, we think we're excused to tithe because it's under the law. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that out. And don't throw it out. You meditate on it. Look at what he says, verse 7. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you the land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, listen to this story. This is before the law. There was no law of Moses. Moses is over 400 years later. He says to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, and a ram, this particular word for ram is always used for a male goat, a male sheep, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him, Abram brought all these to the Lord and cut them into two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. Okay, I would like you to envision this. You got a heifer. That's a chunk of meat. How long did it take him to cut that heifer in half? First of all, he has to slice its throat, and blood is everywhere. Then cut the heifer in half. Then do it for the goat and do it for the ram. And he lays them out. We would just go to Marvel and get a laser, and it would just fall. He had to manually cut this thing in half and lay it half the heifer here, half the heifer there, the goat, the ram, and then you have the two birds. And by the time he's done, Abram is covered in blood. He's covered in blood. He's cutting away, blood squirting, you know, it's all over, it's gushy. Salvation is messy. The blood of Jesus is a price that God paid for you to be saved. And it is a messy work. It is gore. And what happened is he's got this all laid out, and then it says this. So how many hours are we into this story now? And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Here's what happened. Right when the sun started to go down, God put Abram into a state of a coma, into a dreamlike state, into a deep, deep sleep. And he started to have a dream, and the dream was from God. And the dream was horrific to Abram. It was horrible. And what we're going to find out that Abram saw from his day to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we find out in the New Testament, Abraham saw the vision of God, saw the vision of Jesus being resurrected. He saw his descendants going into captivity. He saw his descendants coming out of captivity. He saw his descendants all the way turning from God, turning back to God, all the way to the time that Jesus is resurrected. And it says here, great horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he, God, said to Abram, during the dream, he talks to him in the dream, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will affect them 400 years, will afflict them for 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark that the behold, pause right there. I want you to see this statement, and because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. God did not send the Jewish people to Egypt to become slaves. He sent them to Egypt to put them on hold for 400 years. It was not God's will for the Jewish people to be enslaved by the Egyptians. It was the Egyptians' decision to enslave them because they were prospering so much in their own country. God was blessing the Jewish people. But God was having them there on hold for one reason. The Amorites who have the land where Abram is promised, their iniquity is not yet full. God gave them 400 years to repent. God tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and tried for 400 years to the point when their iniquity was full, he told Moses and then Joshua under the leadership of Moses, go into the land and kill them all. They won't repent. And some of you go, well, that just seems so mean. That's because you think from a human viewpoint instead of from the whole picture of God trying to get people saved. And tried for 400 years. And Abram sees this whole thing take place in a dream. And then it says this. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark that, behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I will give them this land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. And if you keep reading in the verses, it goes on and describes the land. It describes Palestine, Israel, Jordan, the Gaza Strip, all of it God gave to Abram. It belongs to the Jews. And some people say, well, I don't think that's right. It's not your opinion. God gave it to the Jews through Abram before the law. And he said, this is your land, and you will prosper in it, and you will be blessed. But while Abram was knocked out, having a dream, a smoky oven and a torch went through the animals. And basically what happened is the animals are laid there in the middle. These two items actually moved right through. Nobody witnessed it. Abram's asleep. The Bible records it. As you know, that this particular book of the Bible is written by Moses and it's revealed to him by the Holy Spirit himself. And what happens is that these two elements go through the animals and through the blood and they weave all the way around and they develop a covenant. These two elements develop a covenant. They become a covenant and they have an agreement, and we don't know what it is until we go to the New Testament. And through Paul's visions and personal appearances with Jesus, we get revealed what happened all the way back there with Abram when he was on the ground sleeping and the animals were broken up, and these two elements go through the different animals, and we find out the blood covenant is established, and the word of God empowers blood to take away the sins of the world at this moment. And here's what takes place. As we go to the New Testament, we find out in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abram and his seed were the promises made. Abram and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as to many, but as to one, and to your seed, who is Christ. So we do know this, that the seed that is referring to, as reference to Abraham, it is referring to Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. And what we learn when you do a study in the book of Colossians and the book of Hebrews, you find out that those two elements that went through the animals were the Father and the Son, and they made a covenant between each other. The Father said, you give your blood up, and I'll raise you from the dead. The Word empowered the blood. It gave the blood power. It gave the blood power. And so what happens here is that he said, I couldn't swear by anybody greater, so I swore by myself, and I'm in agreement with myself because Abram would never keep it. And when you do a study about Abraham in the book of Romans and other places in the New Testament, you'll find out Abraham didn't have the ability to keep the covenant. Therefore, God didn't make the covenant with Abraham. He made the covenant with Christ. He made the covenant with his Son. So the two come into an agreement and come into what is called the blood covenant. And now all of a sudden, the power of Christ, the power of Jesus' blood becomes empowered by the word of God. Verse 14, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so the words, when he says something, are... What happened? Did somebody come through? I don't know. I was involved in the word. You guys were involved in that. I don't know what happened. Anyway, I'll hear about it later. Surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiply, and I will multiply you. Here's the word of God. God gives the word, and the word is going to come to pass. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It's the blood of Christ that is empowered to take away the sins of the world, to cause someone to be born again. The word of God created all things. The power and energy behind the word himself caused planets to exist. The blood caused something dead to come to life. The blood went another step further and took something that already existed but died and came to life. It takes the human life that is dead to God and gives them new life. And now we're talking about another whole power of energy, another force of energy. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by Jesus, reconciling all things to Jesus, by him, Jesus, whether things on earth or things in heaven, things having made peace through the blood of his cross. The power of the blood is what gives you peace with God. Not your good behavior, not your perfect behavior, not your, you know, your mediocre behavior, not because you did something, but because he did something. Extremely important. Extremely important. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. Do you know silver and gold doesn't corrupt very easily? I mean, you can have a piece of gold and you could keep it for 1,000 years. It'll still look the same. But God calls it corruptible. He says, not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You're redeemed by the blood of the lamb. Where did the blood get the power to redeem you? From the blood covenant when Abraham was asleep. And the father and the son made an agreement. The son said, I will die. The father said, I will resurrect you. And I speak power into the blood, and the blood will give me authority to raise you from the dead. Here's something that's very important. Go back to the Old Testament, another law. The priest did not examine the person who brought a sin offering. He examined the animal. When someone committed sin in the Old Testament under the law, and they brought an animal for that sin, the priest did not look at the person bringing the animal. The person bringing the animal had nothing to do with it. He looked at the animal. And if the animal met all the criteria of the word, then the blood would work for that person. The blood of the animal makes the wrong right. The word told the priest what to look for outwardly. When the animal met the word criteria, he knew the blood would work. The law of Moses said and spoke into existence the criteria necessary for the lamb that would take away the sin forever. And Jesus met the criteria of the law. The promise came before the law. The promise was described in the law. And the promise was fulfilled outside the law. The word of God empowers the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus empowers the name of Jesus. So let's talk about the name real quick. Then we're going to pray. Philippians chapter 2, it says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So he had to give up his blood to get his name. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. He had to first take on the cross. Jesus had to die on the cross. He had to spill his blood. And by his blood, by being that lamb that was perfect by the word under the law and meeting the covenant of Abraham and the blood, he's able to now raise Jesus from the dead and exalt him because of his blood that he gave. He says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those things in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. You know what's on earth? Cancer, tuberculosis, COVID, common flu, broken bones, black eye. These things are on earth, and they are names. And the name of Jesus is exalted above that. The word of God empowered the blood. The blood empowers the name, and the name is exalted. We do not, and I know I'm going to offend some people, and they're going to be upset because they hold to tradition and I'll say that's enough. Hold to tradition and not willing to give up according to the word. We don't plead the blood over people. There's nowhere in the Bible, in the New Testament, where they're pleading the blood. We don't, oh, I'm going to plead the blood over you while you go on your trip. Or let's plead the blood over this person. That's a Pentecostal traditional thing that came through not knowing what Scripture says. We don't even pray by the blood. We are redeemed by the blood and have been given the name of Jesus, which is more powerful and higher than the blood. And when we say the name, it is empowered by the blood, which is given by the word. And the word of creation itself is now available for your body to be healed. We pray in the name of Jesus, not because it's a mystical thing, not because it's a magical thing, or it's a formula. It's, you know, it's not a Harry Potter spell. It is a spiritual force that can move a mountain. And he says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those things in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. The greatest display of power in all of history. Okay, I'm going to show you right now from Scripture what was the most powerful force that ever happened in all of history and will never happen again. Happened one time. Imagine the Death Star, Star Wars, and it blows up the planet. And Yoda or somebody feels, oh, I could feel it in my heart. Something went wrong. You know, they're all connected. That's nothing compared to what I'm going to show you. Absolutely nothing. Because you're talking about destroying an entire planet. In this example that I'm giving you, I'm talking about raising dead people from the grave. And the greatest display of power in all of history is found in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You need to realize, he says, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Okay, what's the hope of God's calling? Is for you to realize who you are and walk in it. For you to know how powerful you are in Christ Jesus. For you to know how to connect to the energy of the spirit world itself. For you to be able to be an individual that can speak the name of Jesus and know it's not from you, it's not from your lifestyle, it's not from decisions you made, right or wrong, that give the name power. Then what gives the name power is the actual blood of Jesus Christ. And when you say the name, you have said the blood and you have said the word. But the more you understand that and the more you realize that, the more you can pull from the energy that's inside you, from the spirit world and from the Holy Spirit himself, and his inheritance is to the saints, and that you have an inheritance, and your inheritance needs to be walking in Christ-like power. And then it says in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. This phrase, exceeding greatness of his power, is saying, what is the greatest display of all the power that God has ever displayed? In making planets, making solar systems, making the atom? What is the greatest display that he taught? And he says, his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So we are using three separate Greek words to explain energy, to explain power, to explain something that is a force that will change something, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places. This scripture says the greatest display that has ever happened in all of history was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When God the Father, through the blood of the Lamb, raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus was in hell. He was there in hell, and he was there at Abraham's bosom. He was there in Sheol. He was there in hell, and he declared who he is, and God raised him and exalted him to the greatest place of all creation, to a name that is above every single name, and it took God's greatest display of authority, power, and energy to put him there. And he's there. He's not falling off his throne. He's not coming down. He is at a place that he is seated. Now, look what it says. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. This lists everything. It lists the authority that a husband has over the household in the sense of being the spiritual leader. It lists the dominion of any kind of priest or any kind of bishop or any kind of pastor. It lists the dominion of any demon or any angel. It is every dominion, every name, every power, every might. And what's also in here is every sickness, every disease must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. All disease is subject to the name of Jesus. And what is more powerful, cancer that comes from this world or the name of Jesus that came from the grave? I'm going to tell you right now, the name of Jesus is more powerful than cancer. The name of Jesus is more powerful than any ailment that's in your body. The name of Jesus is more powerful than anything that's going on. Any emotional hurt, any mental hurt, any mental illness, any physical illness. The name of Jesus himself is the energy, the power, the force of creation is available for your healing. If the word of God could create a solar system, the name of Jesus can take out cancer. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So he's the head, the church is the body. And when the Bible said in the book of Genesis, God says, he will crush your head, you will bruise his heel. Which means the church has a few wounds. We're in the middle of a battle. Sometimes we get hurt. Sometimes we lose a few people. Sometimes things happen. We're still learning how to walk in this power and this energy and this force that's available to us. But he said, we, the church, are the ones that are stomping the devil under our feet. You have been lifted up to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Salvation comes by the name of Jesus in John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. It's the name of Jesus that gets you born again. It's the blood of Jesus that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the blood of Jesus that got you forgiveness. It's the blood of Jesus that opened the door. But it's the name of Jesus that changes you from an old person to the new person. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Healing comes by the name of Jesus. On these three elements that I'm sharing with you, I could spend 3 weeks on each one of these elements, but I condense it into one day, so I hope you go back and listen to it again. And here's what it says about healing comes by the name of Jesus, Acts 3:16. Peter and John, And he says, and this is the crippled person. He says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Talking about the cripple that went up jumping and praising God. He said, whom you see and know. Yes, faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. But I want you to see, it's through faith in his name. So how do I have faith in the name of Jesus? I need to know that it is the word of God that empowered the blood at the Abrahamic covenant. It is the blood that raised Jesus from the dead at the cross 3 days and three nights later and raised him from the dead and ascended him up into the highest place. When he ascended up, he gave him his name. He got a new name or a new authority. He was given the name above every name. And then Jesus said to his disciples, go in my name. Go in my name. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Speak with new tongues. Do miracles. The things that you've seen me do, you go do. And greater things than these, you will do. Go in my name. Don't go in your power. Don't go in your confidence. Go in the name of Jesus that's backed by the blood, that's backed by the word. Amen. Did you learn something today? Could we thank the Lord? Okay, so this is what I want to do. That I promised that we would do. We're going to pray for people. But what we're going to do is we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. And we are believing that God has backed the name up with the blood and that that blood has been backed up by the word. The very word that created the solar systems, created everything visible, is available to you. And when God declares promises in the Bible, and you take those words, those promises in the Bible, and you know they were paid for by the blood of Jesus. They were paid for by his blood. And then he has given you the name to pray in the name. You pray the promise that's backed by the blood, that's paid for by the blood. And the name is what energizes the promise inside you so that you have faith in the name and you see the promises of God. God's going to change your life. So I don't care what's wrong. If you have a physical ailment, if you've got you're dealing with some emotional issues, you're dealing with some mental issues, I don't care. That's between you and God. I don't care if you have a sore toe or cancer in the brain. Doesn't matter. And some people say, well, how do I know God wants me well? Okay, think of this. If God wanted people to be sick, why did he create an immune system? When I hit myself in the face with my putter, oh gosh, I think I saw stars, like the cartoons. Immediately, I got something with cold, like super cold, icy cold cloth, and put it on there. And I knew immediately my immune system is going, it's moving in action right away. God built your body to heal itself immediately. It doesn't wait for 3 or 4 days. It starts happening now, at that very moment. Why would he build that system in you if he didn't want you well? I mean, just logic. Well, you don't know how bad I am. I don't care how bad you are. I know how good God is. I know how powerful the blood is. I know what the name is here to do. So if you would like prayer for the things I said, would you be so kind to stand? In fact, let's just all stand for a moment. Get your bottoms a little blood flowing. If you would like prayer for any of those things that's going on in your life, would you just come and stand up here? I am not going to lay hands on you. I am going to speak the name of Jesus over you. We are going to pray in the name of Jesus, backed by the blood of Jesus, backed by the word of God. We are going to see God do things in people's life. My hope is that you've been empowered and charged with confidence that you're not being prayed for by me, you're being prayed for by Jesus himself, our heavenly intercessor. You are being prayed for in the name of Jesus, that is empowered by the blood of Jesus, that is empowered by the promises and the word of God. And it's so important that we know and understand where the energy itself that brings actual healing to your body comes from the throne of God, the very same energy that brought creation into being. You are backed by God. So when we pray, I'd like you to focus on how powerful the name which is above every name. And that whatever's in your body, whatever it is that you're praying for, whatever it is that you're walking through, whether that's emotional, mental, physical, it doesn't matter. I would like you to visualize it being destroyed, bending its knee, bowing itself, and exiting from your life. It doesn't have the right to be in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let us pray. You that are there, would you also pray with me as we pray over these and speak the name? I hope you understand that the name of Jesus is extremely powerful. It's not a magic word. It is an authority that has been given to the church by God himself. He said, go in my name. So in the name of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, because of the promises of God, we pray, Father, for these that are standing. And in the name of Jesus, I command sickness to leave, disease to leave, problems in the body to be resolved. In the name of Jesus, I speak to the individual issue at hand, and it bow its knee and leave their life. Leave their body, leave their mind, leave whatever's hindering and attacking them. In the name of Jesus, you have no authority in their life. They are bought by the blood, washed by the blood, paid for by the blood. And in the name of Jesus, be healed. Be well. Be whole, be reconciled, be delivered, be free in Jesus' name. Now, while you stand there, I'd like you to visualize whatever the issue is, leaving your life, leaving your body, leaving your life, leaving your home, leaving your property. It doesn't have authority in your life. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Someone that has had a problem with your heart, where your heart has skipped beats, it's been kind of missing, doesn't have a consistent, proper beat, God has just made you well. Another person who's been having an infection that deals with your blood, that you've been having a problem inside your blood, and it's affected your life, that blood has been cleansed and being healed in the name of Jesus. Another person who has injured an ankle, his left ankle, where something happened and it got twisted, and the Lord is strengthening that right now in Jesus' name. And I don't know if those people I'm talking about are in front of me, out here, or watching online. But I do know God is moving and that he is making well in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Another person who's been having problems with a strep throat, reoccurring again and again, being healed in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Someone who's had an unusual event with your eye, something that's just not very common, but has affected your sight, God's touching right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for healing. We thank you for delivering. We thank you for your power, your presence. We thank you that you stretch forth the hand of your holy child, Jesus, and heal, make whole, and make well. Thank you, Lord, that migraine headaches are going away in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for reoccurring headaches that seem to happen all the time, gone in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that disc that's bulging right now and that you're pushing it back in and reducing the inflammation. Thank you for strengthening their back. Thank you for making well in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that healing that's happening in the colon right now, that has been an infection and that has caused some other problems, internal problems, that is being healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for that healing that's taking place. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for that lump that's in that breast that has just been dissolved in the name of Jesus, that you have dissolved it and you have caused it to go away, and that the fear is gone in the name of Jesus. Thank you that the name of Jesus is above cancer. It's above any kind of infection. It's above inflammation. It's above all disease. Disease bows itself at the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for your healing power that walks through right now this whole place in this whole building. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. This would be a really good time for us just to raise our hands and worship the Lord and declare him who that he is God and there is no other, that we worship the Lord Almighty. Worship team, come on. We worship you, Lord God. We declare your goodness, your mercy. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. We worship you, God Almighty. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy. We thank you for your love, your compassion. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God Almighty. I felt instructed of the Lord not to lay hands on people. That's a whole nother teaching. The laying hands on the sick. That's a whole nother method of people receiving healing. But today was to be the name. Exalting the name above your life and you accepting the name and all that God has called you. You are accepting your inheritance. You are inheriting your health. You are inheriting goodness. You are inheriting what God has for you in Jesus' mighty name. Could we give them a big hand?